shaila about a certain type of fish. It also lives on land. What kind of din does it have? Does it have a din of a terrestrial animal or a marine animal? So Misha says, you take a look where it goes with shasakona. It's in danger. Where it goes? Does it go to the land or it goes to the sea? That determines what type of animal it is, a marine creature or an animal creature. I'm saying the person has a day off from work. Question is, where does he go? Does he go to the beach or does he go to the Beis Medrash? No, I say, hi, what type of person he is. Right. Oh Hashem, you come to the Beis Medrash to learn. I say, hi, that's where you belong. Oh Hashem. We all came to prepare yourselves for Shavuos. One of the Yisoides of Shavuos is Nasa Benishmo. The Klal Yisrael said Nasa Benishmo. That means that they don't take into Cheshbon whether the Torah is for their benefit or not for their benefit, whether they make profit from it or not. You can't live without Torah, that's all. Nasa Benishmo, you can't live without it. All these souls said, no matter what's written in it, Nasa Benishmo. So that's an attitude that you always have to mechazik in yourselves. You always have to remember the Iker is Torah. If you're working, the Iker is Torah. You should have money to support yourself, to send your children to learn Torah. You should be able to learn Torah. The Iker is Torah. The Iker is not the money. Once you begin missing what the Iker is and substituting the Tofa for the Iker, your whole life changes. You're no longer ready for Kabbalah Satera. Kabbalah Satera means the Torah is Kehim Chayin Verach Yemenu. Abba Rabba, Abba Soilam at night is considered a Bircha Satera. Why? Because you speak in its words which talk about the value of Torah, and that's Bircha Satera, to value Torah before you learn it. So the words in Abba Soilam are Kehim Chayin Verach Yemenu Vem Ne'agim Mom Veloilo. When you value Torah, that it's Heim Chayenu V'Erech Yemenu, you're making a Birchas HaTorah, you're valuing Torah properly, you're worthy of Torah. But the Gemara says, why did the Churban Beis HaMikdash come? Because they were not Borcho B'Torah Tchila, they did not bench, make a Borcho in the Torah first. The Ram says that means because they didn't value Torah enough. So when you say Heim Chayenu V'Erech Yemenu, you're valuing Torah properly and you're ready for Kabbalah Satorah, that's why it's a Birchas Satorah. You're Yetze Birchas Satorah when you say Abba Seilu. The sort of everything is, before you start learning, you have to be Machshiv Torah. The Mem Chesvon Shatorah Niknis, you have to have Behema, Behiro, Behema, Behiro, B'simcha, b'toho, you have to learn Torah be'emo with fear, that without that you have no life. B'yiro with fear of punishment if you don't learn. B'simcha, you have to be happy that you're learning Torah. B'toho, you have to stay away from anything gashmistic that draws you away from Torah. That's the Kabbalah Satorah. The way to learn Torah is recognizing the value of Torah. So coming back here is in itself a statement of how you value Torah, and it's a time to be mizbeinin, and the role Torah should play in your lives. The role has to, the Iker has to be Talmud Torah, your wife has to be centered around learning Torah, and your children learning Torah, and then everything else is secondary to that. That's how you have to decide. Blessed Hashem Mishmizoyche, to true Kabbalah HaTorah, and to true Kovod HaTorah, giving Kovod to Torah. And we say all of you to grow in Torah in a year, and you and your families. I was told that this is supposed to be a question and answer. imagine if you have any questions. Do you have any questions to ask me? If you have questions, you can ask me.
So we have a few questions that we have prepared to start with, and then maybe we'll get some from the crowd. Just to start, as always, Klal Yisrael is in the news. Sadly, we see more and more displays of anti-Semitism and violence against Yidden. It's a two-part question is, how should we view these things as adults, and how should we talk about these things with our children?
The question is, how should we transmit to our children what's happening?
Correct. And how should we view them as adults?
Well, when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, the Chazal say, Yodah Sina Loilam. Sina, Losh Sinai is Losh Sina, Chazal say. Sina came down to the world, and Goyim hate us. You have to tell the children, Goyim hate us because we're better than them. Because we have a Torah, we have values, we're better in everywhere, in every area of the world, in every area of life. The Jews are always better. They're better in business, and they're better in science, and they're better in Benom HaVeroi, they're better in Stoki, in charity. It's an Amanivcho, it's a different nation. We're Amskula, the best nation there is on earth. And because of that, the Goyim are jealous of us. And not only that, we make them feel guilty. We make them feel that they should indulge. They live for Tivus and COVID and money. They make us feel guilty that we have a different value system. That's why they hate us, because they're jealous of us. We make them feel guilty. That's all. This is another, it's not happened, didn't just start now. It happened for 3,500 years. Yodah Sina Loilam. The Sina came down to the world. Right? The Goyim hate us because they're jealous of us. Makes them proud of being Jewish. And so nothing to be. If you train your children that you're part of the American society and then suddenly American society rejects you, then they feel bad. You should never train them to be part of your society. We're always outsiders. We're never part of the society. If you take your children to a baseball game and say you're part of that culture that cheers a home run, and all of a sudden they don't let you into the baseball game because you're wearing a yarmulke, and then, of course, it's a big shock. You should never have taken them to the baseball game in the first place. They should not be part of that culture. That's a culture of COVID and power and competition. We're not part of that culture. And so we have a different world. We have a different value system. We have different heroes. We have different goals in life. So we have to tell that to the children. And maybe stop taking them to the baseball game to train them that we're not part of that world. That's what.
Okay. I think for anybody who has children, it's understood to anybody who has children that attention span may be a thing of the past. Attention span in general may be a thing of the past, especially when it comes to children. How can we... the question was to tefillah, how can we help our children appreciate davening and to focus on that avodah when it may be difficult given the current state of what it means to be a young person?
It's hard for children before bar mitzvah to focus on anything. Part of being a child is that your mind is not focused. That's the definition of an adult. Das, the quality that you have when you grow up, means that you're able to focus. Right? That's what das is. And a child can't focus. I don't think he ever could focus. A child could never focus. About attention span, maybe children have much shorter attention span. Now that's if they have smartphones or they play these video games. That reduces the attention span of a child because things flit from one thing to another. And when they can't stay with one thing more than a few seconds because they expect the screen to change. When you're talking to them, they think to themselves, when is the screen going to change? You're talking to them, right? You have to stop with the screens and stop with these devices. These games, they ruin the children's ability to concentrate. That's all. But children in general can't concentrate. In davening, you want to train them to daven. Okay, so you train them a little bit, you take them to shul, don't keep them too long in shul. Don't force them. If you force them, they'll develop a distaste for davening. Make it a kovid to go to shul. You have to tell them when they're small children, you're not old enough to go to shul yet. When you get old enough, I'll take you to shul. So it's a kovid to go to shul, a privilege to go to shul. And then when they go to shul, you don't force them to stay the whole time and keep them focused on the gemara, on the siddur. Let them stay as long as they can. Let them give them a certain amount of things to daven, and let them go out and go home. Not to play outside in the shul, but to go home. That's children that way. When a child becomes bar mitzvah, that's an age when you begin to focus. That's the definition of bar mitzvah, is you can begin to focus. That, and then you can train a child in davening shemitzvah.
One of the, I'd say one of the, there are many popular limudim today in Klal Yisrael for adults, Daf Yomi, Araisa, Dirshu. There are many popular new learning programs, Daf Yomi, Araisa, Ndirshu, things of that nature. Is it better for one to engage in one of those programs because it gives them stability, it gives them a framework in order to learn and a pace and a group to learn within? Or is it better for one to engage in what might be called old-fashioned Chavrusa learning where there's no pace and no group and just you and your Chavrusa over a Gemara?
Look, the Chazal say, "Leilam yilmed adam b'makom shaliva chofetz, b'dovah shaliva chofetz." You have to learn what liva chofetz. It's important to be drawn, to be driven to something that you're learning. The best thing is anything which keeps you, which drives you more. Let's say the program that says learn an omer a day, that drives you, do that. A chavrusa, because you understand things better, do that. You have to pick whatever is best for you, whatever gives you a cheshek, whatever draws you more. So all these things are good things, but you have to pick whatever is good for you. There's no rules for anybody.
Artificial intelligence has become more and more prevalent in the world. Is there any fear or should be any concern to what impact AI might have on Limud HaTorah? And specifically in terms of the fact that now anybody can make anything that looks real and sounds real, was said by anybody, and looks like it was authentic. Should we be concerned about how AI may impact Kavod HaTorah and Limud HaTorah?
I'm not so familiar with AI, but I saw a few products of the AI. Someone, for example, asked the AI to write a poem about the Ir HaKodesh. Ir HaTorah, that's Lakewood, the Ir HaTorah. So he wrote a whole poem, a beautiful poem about Ir HaTorah, but it turns out he thought Ir HaTorah is the name of a sefer. He didn't know that it's talking about Lakewood. In other words, artificial intelligence knows just as much as is already in there. Yeah, it's not really intelligence. Intelligence is the ability to think of something new, right? Think of a classification. Intelligence is you're able to say, there's two dinim, not to repeat what's already in Sfom already, but to be able to analyze something, to find the category something belongs to. I don't think artificial intelligence can find that. That's what intelligence really is. A lamdan can find out what a certain idea belongs to. I can't, remind me to think, you know, I mean, we're learning on Makis, right? Let's say there's a din of Eid Zaymeim. If he says Eidus in a Ben Gurush and Chlutzah, he gets Malkus, right? Now, the question is, what does he get Malkus for? Does he get Malkus because of Loisane, or does he get Malkus because the Torah says it's Hazome, where you can't perform the Hazome on the Eid? The Eid gets Malkus. It's the din of Hazome. Or is it part of the din of Hazome, or is it din of Loisane? So this is a Shaila Nachoyim, but I don't think artificial intelligence could ever even bring up the question of what it belongs to. Because that's already analysis. Certainly you can't solve where it belongs. Where does this malchus belong to? Unless it happens in an explicit source somewhere. find some tshuva, some sefer that says it's loisana, but it can never figure out by itself where it belongs to. Because intelligence, true intelligence, is able to understand the category that something belongs to. And that requires abstracting an idea, to get the abstract of the idea to know where it belongs to. That's something only intelligence can do, and that's what London does. This artificial intelligence is not artificial, because it just collects what other people say and applies it and tells you a different opinion about different people. I can make a nice poem, but if it gets the Iker, if it gets the Lakewood, it's called the Arkadish. So I think it's the same thing. Someone just told me yesterday, he publishes a magazine, he received a tshuva on a shaila, and he thought it was very good, he was going to publish it. It was written entirely by artificial intelligence, the tshuva on the shaila, written in perfect Hebrew, and brought nice sources. He thought it was written by a Talmud Chacham. But when he analyzed it, he saw that it had nothing new in it. It was just a collection of different opinions about this idea, so collected it from different tshuvas and put it all together. But to have an original thought means an idea that can abstract an idea from the facts that you have to say what classification does it belong to, that's a lamdan. That's what we strive to do when we learn Gemara. What classification does something belong to? Not just bikiyas, not just putting together something that already exists. And yeah, I don't think there's any competition of artificial intelligence to a Talmud Chacham. It's a competition to pseudo Talmid Chachamim. Yeah. People who act like Talmid Chachamim, it could be a big competition because it can outdazzle them. Look at the amount of bikiyas it can bring and the information it has at its disposal. But it can't displant the Talmud Chacham. Okay.
I remember hearing from my father that when he was in Baltimore as a bachur, that boys used to go to school, and when they went to school, they would take off their yarmulkes because it was safer that way. Baruch Hashem, over the decades, I think many people now, when they go to work or if they go out into the world, they walk around with a yarmulke and they don't think twice about it. Recently, a couple of people, as I've mentioned, asked that given the climate in today's world, that they are thinking about maybe going back and starting to wear other types of hats or coverings to not have their yarmulke and to not be so blatantly obvious that they are Yidden. Is this a correct mahalach, or should people stay to where we've gotten to?
Anti-Semitism?
Yes. Sure.
Certainly it's a Kiddush Hashem to wear a yarmulke, and someone should be proud that he's wearing a yarmulke, because the attitude of the culture of America changed to diversity because of the blacks, made it possible to be different, and to be respected because you're different. So the Jews were also included in that, and now the Jews can wear yarmulkes. It used to be when you walked into the library, they forced you to take off your yarmulke because you're not allowed to wear a hat. Or in universities, they made you take off your hat, or a yarmulke even. But now it's changed. Now even judges can wear yarmulkes if they want. So you should try your best to wear a yarmulke. But if you think that you're in danger by wearing a yarmulke, you can walk through an Arab neighborhood with a yarmulke, talk of dangerous, you shouldn't wear a yarmulke. You should go with some other covering. You should go with a different baseball hat or something else. But because if you think you're going to be hurt, certainly wouldn't wear it. They told me in France, in Paris, it's a sakona to walk with a yarmulke. Because there's a lot of Arabs there and they can beat you up if you wear a yarmulke. But it's different. You shouldn't wear a yarmulke, Taka. You should wear some other kind of head covering. But if you have any option, if there's no question of being beat up, then certainly you should do every possible effort to wear a yarmulke, because it's a Kiddush Hashem. You're saying you're from Jew. It's the biggest Kiddush Hashem possible. And the more from Jews there are, the more other people will want to become from. So you should do whatever you can. But you're not mechuyev to be beat up because of this. There's nothing you hold by Yahweh on it.
Certainly in the Olam HaTorah, over the years, it has become accepted practice that both boys and girls at a certain point will spend some time learning in Eretz Yisrael. Given what's happened in Eretz Yisrael over the past number of years, is there any makom for someone to say that it's better slash safer for my child to stay on this side of the ocean and not spend time in Eretz Yisrael?
No, nothing's happening. Baruch Hashem, nothing happened to Yeshiva Bachar because of the war, because of the situation. The things happen in America to the same degree they happen in Eretz Yisrael. It's just as dangerous to walk in Williamsburg as it is to walk in Tel Aviv. No, I don't think that's a reason not to send your child to Eretz Yisrael, your daughter to Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, nothing's happening. Even the missiles and the bombing, nothing happens to the Frum community in Eretz Yisrael. You have to worry about it. I wouldn't worry. I wouldn't stop sending my child.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Perhaps one more question.
Where'd you get these questions?
Nashim. This is what comes back from the public.
Okay.
Perhaps not so much the group standing in the back of the room, but maybe from the other people.
Okay.
Many people have adopted the practice, especially many people in business have adopted the practice that sometimes before a large decision or a large deal will go through, that they either seek guidance or what we call brachas from mekubalim. Is this something that B'nai Torah should do, should not do? Is this something that was done, is done? What is the Shiva's position on such practices?
Well, if the mekubal takes money, you don't go to him. That's what I would say. If he doesn't take money, why not? You want to get a bracha from a tzaddik? But if he takes money, don't go to him. It could be a big chance that he's a charlatan.
Is there any difference if the person being approached is what we would call... Is there any difference if the person was what we would call a galda batayra?
Galda batayra?
Yeah, to get brachas or...
If it's a learner bracha, if someone is learning Torah, it's a choshev bracha. But if he takes money, it's a riot. He's not a bracha. No.
Okay.
You shouldn't go to him.
So let's say, so given that answer, would the Rosh Hashiva perhaps give a bracha to the Olam here in honor of their attendance at the Yarchei Kala?
Okay, at the end, are we finished?
Oh, what's
yeah, at the end they give me a bracha. Any more questions?
Any other questions?
Some questions from the audience. They weren't screened. Okay. Uh-huh. No?
Hold on.
There are many Divrei Chazal that a person who is Omid bin Isayon gets a lot of schar, tremendous schar. The harder the Nisayon, the more schar. And yet we're taught that the appropriate thing is to avoid the Nisayon, to set up Gedarim, to avoid a Nisayon. Does a person get as much schar for avoiding the Nisayon to begin with, even though they're not going to be in the situation where they have to overcome the Nisayon? Or do they perhaps get more schar?
You should not put yourself into a sakone of Nisayon because you might be nichshol. So if a person stays away from a nisayon, he has schar for protecting himself from being nichshol. He gets just as much schar as someone who was in the nisayon and stayed and overcame it. I'll bring you a raya. The Gemara says that tzaddikim in Olam Habo, when they're judged, the Yetzer Hara will look like a huge mountain. It says the tzaddikim will cry and the rishoyim will cry. The tzaddikim will cry because the Yetzer Hara will look like a huge mountain. They'll say, how do I get schar for this huge mountain? I didn't even overcome it. It wasn't that big. And the rishoyim will cry. The Yetzer Hara will look to them like a chut asar, like a thread. And they'll cry, why wasn't I able to overcome that chut asar? So what is the Yetzer Hara? Zechut Asara Zerohar. The Torah says it starts off being a Chut Asara. You start off breaking your Gedorim. Afterwards it becomes a Har, which is insurmountable. So the Tzadi gets reward for overcoming the Chut Asara as if he would have overcome the mountain, because he protected that Chut Asara from turning into a mountain. That's before what you're asking. And the Roshe gets an Einish for even though the Yetzirah was so powerful, how can we expect him to overcome it? But he could have stopped that Yetzirah had he kept the Gedorim in the first place of not being over the Chut Asara. Let's say a woman is not Tzniyistik. It's very easy to be Tzniyistik. She can just buy a dress with a little bit longer skirt, a little bit longer skirt. She's not Tzniyistik, it's a Chut Asara. But then because of that, because she decides to wear a skirt higher, she gets bad friends, and ultimately she goes and she leaves her husband. So she gets an Einish for a Har Godel, leaving her husband, but she could have prevented it by keeping the Chut Asara. So you get schar when you overcome the soin, when you prevent the soin for the einish, for the big yetzer hara that you kept away from yourself. Okay? Yeah. Okay. That's it? Okay.
So there are many Jews that say Hallel today in celebration of the reclaiming of Jewish sovereignty of Yerushalayim and the ability to visit the Kotel and possibly do mitzvah of Yeshuva Aretz. Louder? There are many Jews today who are saying Hallel in their celebration of the what they see as the reclaiming of Jewish sovereignty of Yerushalayim and the ability to see the Kotel and to possibly do mitzvahs like Yeshuva Aretz and stuff like that. Does the Rav have any comments on why we might not say Hallel today and what he might think of that?
I didn't get the question. Should we say celebrate Yom Yerushalayim?
More or less.
Huh? I didn't get it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Look, I'm going to tell you, I was in Israel during the Six-Day War. I had small children. We were all packed into an air raid shelter, frightened. Israel had a small army, and the Arabs were in the north Syria, and the south was Egypt, and the east was Jordan. They didn't have enough trucks for the army. They drafted people, and they drafted trucks. Someone had a milk truck that went into the army also. They didn't have enough money to buy trucks. It was a pachad. And then they were air raid shelter because Egypt had a mighty air force, and we could be bombed just 15 minutes away from Egypt. We expected to be bombed. In fact, they say a bomb fell not far from where we lived. So we're sitting all night in the air raid shelter, frightened. And then morning, we turned on the radio, and it said that the war is over. They destroyed the Egyptian Air Force. The Egyptians had a party that night. They were drunk, the officers, and they left their airport. If you know the history, that's what happened. They left their airplanes out on the runway, and Israel went in and destroyed all the Air Force. There was no Air Force for them to fight, and Israel controlled the air, and they controlled everything else because of that, and they defeated the Egyptians ran. And Syria also, there was Nisim that happened. One tank was able to destroy 10 tanks. Nisim happened in Jordan, and in Jordan also. So it was a mess. So that day, I decided, like it says in the Chayodom, he was in a place once where there was an explosion, and he was saved with his family at the end of the Chayodom. And the Chayodim says how he celebrated that day every year, and he writes what Tehillim to say, and what Tefillah to say. So I did that the next year with my family. We got together, we had a Suda, you know, we told the story, and we thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu for saving us from the Nes that day, the six-day war. But then that day, the next day, became Yom Yerushalayim. So what's Yom Yerushalayim? Yom Yerushalayim, you have airplanes flying over, you have parades, and you have speeches on the radio saying how great Tzal is, and oh, Koichiv Yesim Yodi, talking about the strength of the Israeli army, right? That's all he talked about. So I said to myself, here, I'm celebrating with my children. I don't want them to think that I'm part of that celebration. I don't want them to think that I'm also celebrating the Israeli army. So I stopped the celebration. After 2 years, I stopped the celebration. I didn't want my children to confuse themselves to think that they're part of that culture, Koichiv Yetzim Yodi. Yom Yerushalayim is a celebration of Koichiv Yetzim Yodi. I'll bring you a raya. There was a Gulf War, if you recall, in 73. But the Iraq sent missiles to Israel, 39 missiles. Each missile is the length of a football field, full of explosives. I remember looking up in the sky and seeing one passing over, flaming with fire, right? Running, it didn't hit us in Yerushalayim, we went to Tel Aviv, but then exploded, 39 missiles, nothing happened. It didn't explode anywhere, it didn't destroy any. No one died. No one died because of a missile. Yeah, it was a Nes also, 39 missiles. Then all of a sudden, President Bush had a mishugas, for which he lost the election later, to go into the war and to defeat Iraq, and he defeated them without much problem. And that ended the war. It was, they had poison gas. Iraq had poison gas, and every single citizen in Israel was distributed a mask. We all had poison gas. There's a big shadow, should we shave off our beards because it doesn't protect you against the gas. Every single Jew had a, and Goy, everybody in Israel had a mask against poison gas. They had poison gas, it was known. Nothing happened, no poison gas, no missiles hurt us. It was an S. Is that in the Israel history book? Not a word. There's not a word mentioned about the Iraqi war, that they won the war. Why? Why is Yom Yerushalayim a big day, and why is Iraqi war not a big day? The Nes is just as big. Because Israel army didn't win the Iraqi war. That's why. There's no Koichiv Yetzim Yodi. What are you going to say about the Iraqi war? What are you going to celebrate? You're going to say, Halu Avde Hashem, Halu Hashem Hashem? That's what we're going to say? No. It's because there's no Koichiv Yetzim Yodi. All the holidays by the State of Israel are there to celebrate the State of Israel, to celebrate the army. I don't want any share in that. And in America also, we shouldn't want to have a share in that. You want to have a share in thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to have a private celebration, have a private celebration. Especially if you are saved, you should have a celebration, but private. Or you could do like me, not have it all together. But you cannot celebrate together with that celebration of Koichiv Yetzim Yodi. Koichiv Yetzim Yodi is the downfall of the Jewish people, and it's the downfall of Israel. It's because of these celebrations, the Koichiv Yetzim Yodi, that they're fighting a war in Iraq, in Gaza right now. It's all the Koichiv Yetzim Yodi. That's destruction of the Jewish people, spiritual destruction of the Jewish people. So that's why we cannot celebrate Yom Yerushalayim. That's why we cannot have Hallel there. That's all. Theoretically, yes. If it would happen to you, you should say Hallel. If it happened to you, if it happens to your brother or to your friend, you don't say Hallel. But if you were there in Israel, and you were like I was, and were saved through a Nes, you should say theoretically Hallel, but you should say the Tehillim that the Chayyotim says. And thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving you. But if it comes out of Chil Hashem, you shouldn't do it. That's all. That's the answer to the question. Okay?
Okay. So, not to forget, but let's circle back. If the Rosh Hashiva wouldn't mind.
Okay, now we have to give you a bracha. I assume it's without money, okay? You should all be zoiche to be dovek constantly in Torah, and to make it geim chayenu v'erich yemenu, and you should have atzlocha and bracha with yourselves and with your children, and not forget what the tachlis of a Jew is. The tachlis of a Jew is to be eved Hashem in every area of his life, and to raise his children to be avdei Hashem. That's zekol odom. That's geim chayenu v'erich yemenu. Shabbat shalom.
Amen.
Yeah, of course.
In a few weeks, I have to have a safer, new safer out than Tfilah.